Hello, welcome to MSN's Euro 2012 preview. I'm Ian Jones, I'm one of the MSN news editors, and I'm joined here today by my colleague Andy Young.
Hello.
Who's also a news editor, and the two sport editors, Rob Jones.
Hello.
And Lee Harvey.
Hello.
And straight away, I'm going to ask the three of you for a prediction. I'd like to know the name of the team that you think is going to win the tournament. Andy.
I've had a look through this. It's going to be the Netherlands.
Lee?
Germany.
Rob?
France.
Interesting. Three different answers. All right.
And none of them the favourites.
Indeed.
Okay, yeah, explain yourself. Rob?
Well, I say everyone. There's three of us here. None of us are going for Spain. But the overwhelming favourites are Spain.
Yeah.
Having won the previous two major tournaments. But I can't see them winning three in a row. I think they've got key injuries in Carlos Puyol at centre-back and David Villa up front. And I think that they will struggle without the two of them.
Villa in particular, I think, is a big miss for Spain.
Yes. So it's then you look at the kind of... There's a few teams then that have got equal chance to win it. In all honesty, and you can kind of pick it out of a hat. And I would actually include England in that as well. There's quite a few teams that have a good chance. If you get the rub of the green, if you win a penalty shootout, or there's a sending off, or something like that, then they've got half a chance. So I am going with France purely because they had a terrible tournament 2 years ago. They seem to be galvanised. And also, they're on a really, really good run of form, unbeaten the last 20 matches.
Yeah, it should be said as well, they've got a lot of stability from Laurent Blanc as manager compared to Dominic, who was in charge of the World Cup.
Yeah,
so I think it's all about form, and I think if you're unbeaten in 20, then that bodes well.
OK, so you're going with France. Lee, you went with Germany, yeah?
Yeah, there's an age-old maxim from my childhood that you will have heard me use before, my father taught me, and that is, son, never bet against the Germans. Germany are probably the ultimate tournament team when it comes to international football. I think they've got a hell of a lot of depth. They've got goal-scoring threat, which, as Rob spoke about, someone like Spain lack through injury. I think you've got Klose, Podolski, you've got a very attacking midfield. The only question around them is Mario Gomez. Statistically, he looks like a world beater, and you watch him playing a big game, and he looks like a panel beater. So that remains the one question around them. But yeah, never bet against the Germans.
Mm. And Andy, then, the Netherlands. Why did you go for them?
I think they would have learnt a lot from the World Cup. I think when they lost to Spain in the final.
Okay.
And I think they'll have learned a lot from that. They do have a tough group to get through, and even when you get through the group stages and into the knockout stages, it's going to be very difficult. But in many ways, it's similar to the arguments that Lee has for Germany. I think you look at the squad, and you've got the likes of Van Persie, Schneider, De Jong, and they've got a great squad of players, and I just fancy them to do it this time.
The issue I have with both your predictions are they're in the same group. You've got to throw into the mix Portugal, who on their day could beat anyone. Ronaldo alone could beat anyone.
That's the problem with Portugal. I think they are just Ronaldo. They're weak in, I think they're pretty weak through the midfield outside of Ronaldo, and he's going to have to have the...
Are we not scarred as Englishmen by Portugal turning England over twice in major tournaments? Because the thing is that is a long
time.
They've lacked a striker for years, but they always seem to score goals. And I think Ronaldo could, in any game, turn it on and cause an upset against either the Netherlands or Germany. And I'm just saying, I think they both probably will go through, but the fact that they are in a difficult group with Portugal, and I think we're almost writing off Denmark in that group, but
which is a shame.
It means. It makes your predictions, in my eyes, a little bit less likely, and that's why I've gone for France, who are an easier group.
This is a knock-on effect of having two hosts, though, isn't it? Because if you look at Group C, which is a Germany, Holland, Portugal group.
That's Group B.
And that's really, really strong. You look at Group A, Poland, Russia, Greece and Czech Republic, you think, how's that right? But again, that's a knock-on effect of having two hosts, both being seeded in the draws, number ones.
Just to go back to your three choices for the final then, none of you went for Spain, as we've just discussed. How far through the tournament do you think Spain will get?
I've got them losing the final, so they're not that far off.
I've got them losing the semi-final on penalties to Holland.
Bizarrely, I've got exactly the same, losing the semi-final to Holland.
So they're still going to get most of the way through the competition?
Oh yeah, I mean, they're a great side. What they're lacking. Yeah. I mean, again, international football is always cyclic. The Euros and then the World Cup. And like Rob said earlier, it's very rare that a nation's success carries on beyond that. And I think they haven't got anybody to replace Villa up front. I mean, they've got Torres, they've got
Llorente,
but they're not in the class of David Villa. And they haven't got anybody to plug the leadership hole that Puyol leaves by not being there.
I think in some ways as well, the part of it is in my mind is the Barcelona effect and what teams will have seen happen against Barcelona this season. It's almost how to counteract that. The Spanish style of football.
Well, I mean, Mourinho started that. Mourinho started that. Tried to start it at least at the end of last season in Madrid, and camping two central midfielders deep in front of the back four, basically just closing down that space where Barca tried to play through the middle. But that's probably a little bit off topic.
I just think there's lots of good teams. Mm. I mean, barring perhaps the two host nations, there's 14 good teams here. So I just can't see Spain winning three consecutive major tournaments.
No.
That's the main reason, really. They've got the potential to, and they're classed throughout.
Yeah.
But I just think it would be an extraordinary. I don't think it's ever been done before.
Anyone got either of the hosts getting out of the group?
Well, I was going to ask about this as well, prompted by what you were just saying. Is this a rather atypical tournament in football history? By nature of the hosts not being expected to do that well.
It's a twin host thing, isn't it? I mean, Belgium didn't get out the group in Euro 2000, I think, from memory. But obviously they co-hosted with the Dutch, and Dutch didn't.
Yeah.
I've got Poland coming out of Group A.
Yeah.
As runners-up to Russia. I think Russia are a dark horse team, but that's by the by. I can't see both host nations not getting.
That's the thing. Normally, the host nation or one of the host nations does well just because of home support.
Yes.
But I actually have got them both going out of the group stages. Yeah. I've got Russia topping the group, Group A, and Czech Republic second, with Poland third and Greece on nil point, Eurovision style.
What would it mean? Well, perhaps it wouldn't mean anything if that came to pass, if both of the hosts were out of the competition more or less straight away. Would that change the nature of the rest of the tournament in the sense of...
Not so much a European competition. It would definitely affect a World Cup.
Okay.
But with Europe, you know, you've got freedom of movement. It's not that hard for enough people to go together. I don't think you're going to be seeing massive empty stadiums like saw at times in South Africa in 2010.
But it is nice normally for the host nation to go through because the atmosphere seems to be
great. I mean, before they started doing this co-hosting thing, I think there was a stat in the Euros up to and including Euro 96 that no host nation had ever failed to make the semi-finals. We always hark back to England reaching the semi-finals. That was actually a par score for a host nation.
Right. But having said that, generally, they were given to the bigger nations.
So
it's only now when they're trying to build stadiums across Europe and across the world, on the World Cup, for example, that they're giving it to smaller nations.
But I think, as you were saying, that Belgium didn't qualify when they co-hosted, and that's the first time that any, and the only time, I believe, any host nation has failed to go through. So I've got Poland going through with Russia. in Group A.
Yeah, me too.
Mainly because I just think a host nation will go through and it's just slightly edging the Czechs.
Okay, well, let's, having dealt with the rest of Europe, let's come on to the subject of England. I can't help but notice that none of you have suggested that England will reach the final. Would you, before I ask you how far you think they're going to get, I just want to see whether any of you would disagree with the statement that this is the weakest team that England have sent into a tournament for 20 years? Longer, maybe?
I can't disagree with that, actually.
I don't think you can make that call until you see how they do.
But I think,
well,
if you look at it on paper, though, I think
that's what I'm saying. Before we get to the actual matches, in terms of sending a team away, sending teams
referred to as the golden generation or teams of superstars has not worked. They've never gelled. So I think looking at a team on paper, in theory, I'm not saying this is fact at all. In theory, a team of lesser players that actually work well together might be better in a tournament of this sort than a team of superstars who cannot play together.
Greece,
yeah,
as an example.
Yeah, and obviously it'll be great if we play like that.
I agree with that sentiment. I'm not disagreeing with that, but I do think that
it's the weakest crop of players.
Yeah, golden generation aside, whatever you got to label them.
Okay, well, then how far back would you go into, if you want to make that comparison about weakness and strength?
Well, I'm not as old as these two, so.
Certainly, back when I used to watch a football in a flat cap with my whip.
Well, even I, with my limited knowledge, would suggest that we're perhaps looking back as far back as 86 or
1990. 82, 86.
We had good players in 82.
We're good players in 90.
Yeah.
Yes.
So,
I mean, if you're talking like mid-70s when we couldn't qualify for anything.
That's not just for injuries either. That's a combination of long-term injuries, the likes of Wilshere.
Yeah.
More recent injuries, the likes of Cahill. You've got omissions by Hodgson, Rio Ferdinand, obviously. And you've got people that have ruled themselves out, the likes of Paul Scholes and Ben Foster and Michael Carrick and people like that.
So Carrick and Richards are the ones that irritate me in that you don't set demands with regard to the England team. You don't say, I will not be put on standby, or I will not agree to be picked unless you guarantee me a place in the team. I think Carrick especially, as much as I love him, starting out West Ham, I cannot fathom that attitude. I think it's wrong.
I agree. But I'm just saying there's lots of different reasons why our squad is weaker this time.
OK, bearing all that in mind then, how far through the tournament are they likely to get? Let's take it stage by stage. Okay. I'm going to assume that you all think that England are actually going to qualify from the group stage.
Just.
So, in second place then?
Yeah.
The first of England's games is against France on Monday, the 11th. Predictions for that? Rob?
Well, I've got, as we've already mentioned, France to win it. And I think that they will beat us 1-0.
Do you agree?
I think it will be 0-0.
I've gone for a France win.
I saw enough in the rear guard actions in the friendlies to think England will be solid at the back. And given it's the first game of the tournament, I know France destroyed Estonia 4-0 last night. I just think England might hold on for a draw there. I think the first two games will be very, very negative draws.
The second match is against Sweden on Friday the 15th. Now, will that be a win for England?
I've got that to be a draw. England find it very difficult to beat the Swedes.
Never beat Sweden.
So that's a draw from all of you?
Yeah.
I've got that as a goal-scoring draw.
Yeah.
I think England will score probably a set piece in that.
I've got England having 1 point after two games.
Wow.
As is England's the general pattern. Not going into the last game needing a result.
And so that means remember, you think that they'll be on 2 points after two games.
Yeah.
They're going to, and you, Andy, also think
one point. Yeah.
So, in all those scenarios, though, they'll need to win.
Yes.
Their third and final group stage match, which is against the Ukraine on Tuesday the 19th.
That's when Rooney comes back. I think that might galvanise the team in some way.
And as you were saying, Rob, yet again, England will be in a situation where they have to absolutely have to win.
Yeah.
What is just a group stage match?
Yeah, I think the only issue with that is, as Lee said, Rooney is back for that game.
Yeah.
If we do need a win, it is against the Ukraine, in the Ukraine. That is a lot of pressure. Mm. And it'll be difficult. I think it'll be very tight, but I think we will sneak
England
through. England will sneak through.
Do you all agree that
I think
unbalanced?
Yeah,
that's, I think England will make it through one way or the other.
We'll get through.
But as runners-up of Group D...
Yeah. Which means
when out, yeah, what does that mean?
That means they play the winner
of Group C,
which is Spain, Italy, Croatia, and the Republic of Ireland.
And who is likely to win that group?
Spain.
So we're looking at the possibility of a quarter final on Saturday, the 23rd of June, between Spain and England. Which surely
I've gone with a slightly different route. To be fair.
Well, hang on. So what?
Well, mine.
Oh, are you suggesting that someone else is going to win?
Yeah, I've got. I think.
Controversial.
I've just come through with Sweden just coming through against France, which actually would put. Yeah.
What?
That's different.
No. Let me finish. Which then would put England as group winners in Group D.
Oh.
Mm. Interesting.
Yeah.
Does that not mean? Does that not count upon other things happening earlier in the group stage in terms of, I don't know, Ukraine against Sweden?
Yes.
Against
France? Yeah. The way it's all worked out. No, I've got that. England losing to France,
drawing against Sweden, and winning against
Ukraine, coming through on 4 points, France
and
on
topping
four
the group
points.
On four
Sweden
points.
On 4 points.
Interesting. So they'd be down to goal difference.
Yeah.
Oh, I see. Mm. And then that would mean that they ended up playing the runner-up to Group C. Yes.
Which would be...
Which might well be Italy.
Italy.
No, Italy are poor. Italy are a poor team. They're going to go home with their tails between their legs after the group
after
stages.
After the group stages?
They are.
Well,
come on.
Croatia or Republic of Ireland, then?
Oh, dear. This is getting a bit fanciful
now. Yeah, I do have it as the Republic of Ireland, but I'm thinking it's going to be Croatia. I'd put them against Croatia for that.
For the quarterfinals,
yes.
You think England are going to be meeting Croatia in the quarterfinals? Whereas, Rob, Lee, do you both agree with England versus Spain in the quarterfinals?
Yes.
And presumably Spain.
The end of the road.
Yes. Yeah. What the ultimate.
But they can start looking forward to World Cup 2014.
Well, of course, as I predict,
I predict what the ultramagnetic MCs once referred to as a critical breakdown when Spain played.
What would be the likely score of that match against Spain against England?
7-0.
A drubbing.
I've predicted a 2-0 win for Spain, but it could be. Any number.
See, I went 4-1.
Now, what would be the consequences of England going out at that point in that fashion?
Nothing. I think the tournament is effectively a free pass for Hodgson.
Okay.
He's come in late. The expectations are as probably low as they've ever been.
Yeah.
And there's been injuries. And
should he have done more with the squad then, if you're thinking it's the free pass? I mean, one of the criticisms about England has been they don't know enough about tournament football. The players aren't used to tournament football. So should he have taken more players?
Yeah.
Younger players?
Perhaps.
Well, he's drafted in younger players, and everybody says it should be Rio Ferdinand instead, you know?
I'm not saying generally.
I mean,
Rio Ferdinand, I think he's done the right thing in not taking Ferdinand, but.
But won't there be the normal? The point is that will we get yet again, despite all of this, despite the low expectations, despite the prediction, the usual chorus of hysteria in the media?
No, I don't think so.
About England being flops, they're being
I don't think so.
I don't think the media as such have really built England up this time. I think that's possibly one thing that will really go in their favour for this tournament, worryingly.
Because expectations have been
so
dampened down so greatly.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think they won't get hammered in the press, if they don't qualify from the group, but it will be a disappointment if they don't qualify. Yeah. I think they need to qualify from the group, and then if we get knocked out in the quarterfinals, then I don't think it would be a huge disappointment and a huge surprise. But I think they need to qualify. They're a better side than Sweden and the Ukraine, in my opinion. Although France are most certainly a stronger squad.
It's funny though, isn't it? In the FIFA rankings today, I don't know how much you can take from them. England are 6th and France are 14th.
But France are 12-1 to win the, and England 13-1.
It just seems really strange.
I trust the bookmakers more than I do the FIFA ranking.
Because FIFA have got England as the fourth, I think it's the fourth best European team behind Spain, Germany and the Netherlands. So, semi-final appearance. And that's what I've got them down for.
Okay, moving on. Have any of you picked out a match that you think is going to be particularly exciting or notable? But one that doesn't involve England. So obviously that rules out the final and the semi-finals and quite possibly the quarter-finals. No. Yes, can anyone recommend something that people might want to seek out?
Well, as we kind of briefly touched on earlier, in Group B, the Netherlands versus Germany, I think should be a cracking game.
Which is on Wednesday the 13th. Okay.
I think that will determine who wins that group and therefore who has perhaps a slightly easier route to
the final,
to the semi-finals, or perhaps even the final.
Okay.
They're two good footballing sides, Germany especially. I think they'll probably cancel themselves out and it'll be a draw.
Yeah, I don't think they'll go full bore in that, especially if they both have won their first game. A draw would be enough for both of them.
I mean, I agree that on paper and through history, the Netherlands-Germany is always a great clash and one to watch. Funnily enough, I think another one, if you're enjoying the football, would also come from Group B, might well be Portugal-Denmark. You've got two teams there who know they will have to get a win out of that game if they've got any chance of getting through that group. Mm. So
absolutely,
that might be just a little bit more of entertaining football. Ronaldo really giving it some, and the Danes have got some good players.
And that's the very same day, Wednesday the 13th, isn't it? So that's clearly going to be one of the highlights, one of the high points of the tournament. Lee, do you have any other things to tip?
It might be a bit of an outlier, but I think Spain-Croatia would be a good game to watch. Both technical sides, I guess the one thing that mitigates against that is how intimidated opposition will be against Spain in this tournament. But if Croatia came out and played to their reputation, I think that could be a really attractive game.
I was going to ask you about penalties. Is it going to be the case that one or possibly more of England's games will be decided? Well, it has to be the quarter final, then, doesn't it, really?
Yeah.
Not necessarily.
Well, remind me, who did we think that they were going to end up playing in the quarter finals?
Myself and Lee said they would become runners up of the group and face Spain.
Spain, yes.
And I've got them winning the group and facing either Croatia or the Republic of Ireland.
Yes, this rather interesting interpretation
of what
might happen.
Losing to Germany in the semi-final on penalties.
I don't think there's any. I would imagine there's not much likelihood of them, the game against Spain, going to penalties, really, is there?
Look, you never know in tournament football, that's the thing.
Has Hodgson been practising penalty kicks with this?
He will have done. He will have
unlike,
done.
Unlike Sven, who took them all off for a round of golf.
I don't think there's any point practicing them anyway, because
what?
Well, you can't replicate. You know, you're seriously telling me in the Champions League final that those players aren't good enough to score for 12 yards, and that they hadn't practiced it for 12 yards.
Sure.
Well, I think you need to have a few names, but I think more than anything,
it's the pressure.
It's practice for Joe Hart to look at different players and see their different run-ups and that kind of thing, rather than, because it's so it's impossible to replicate the pressure in a training ground with your mates.
I think as well, though, if you just touch on the Champions League final, you've seen a lot of players who are doing what Schweinsteiger did, and they're running and waiting for the keeper to make a move, and then they suddenly don't know what to do when the keeper stands still. So you actually need to know that you can put it in the corner. Mm. I don't know, you can't replicate the pressure.
Did you see the, I think it was the League One playoff final? There was just an insane penalty shootout because neither of the top five takers, the Huddersfield Sheffield United game, hardly any of the top five takers could score. And then it got to a point where, once it went to sudden death, everybody else had just decided to hit the ball as hard as they could. And then everybody kept scoring. And in the end, the goalkeepers decided it. One scored, one missed, game over. But yeah, again, the pressure of that situation is the thing that dictates. It's not down to the skills.
Are there any interesting rules in this tournament? I remember the golden goal and the silver goal, and nothing like that in place this time round. That's a shame.
I think are there the officials behind the goals?
Officials, probably.
I think perhaps they're the officials behind the goals, but that's interesting.
So there's no likelihood of extra time ending at the 17th minute or something.
That whole thing was abolished because the idea of golden goal was to encourage teams to attack more to get that first goal, but it had the adverse effect and everyone just sat behind the ball and didn't want to concede, and it made extra time particularly boring.
Do we want to talk player of the tournament?
Yes. Do you have any suggestions for your player of Euro 2012?
I think it will either be Wesley Schneider or of the Netherlands, or Mesut Ozil, Germany.
You're shaking your head.
No, I'm actually agreeing. It's hard to disagree with either of those two.
It would conform with your predictions about who's going to end up in the final as well.
Like that.
I'm going to go with the two Bayern Munich wingers, Frank Ribery and Arjen Robben. They've been in scintillating form in both the Champions League and the Bundesliga this season. And I think both France and Holland will do very well. So I think they've got as good a chance as anyone to become player of the tournament.
And finally, one last prediction, which I haven't prepared you for, but I'd like to know what you think the final score will be of the final of the Euro 2012. Which also means, therefore, I need to know who you think will be the runners-up in the tournament. You've all told me who you think will win, but I'd like to know who you think that they will beat, and by how much. Do you want to go first?
Yeah, I have Germany facing the Netherlands in the final. I think it'll be 1-1 after extra time, and Germany will win on penalties.
Andy?
I've got the Netherlands versus Germany also in the final, and I have the Netherlands taking that 2-1.
And Rob?
Well, I have Germany and the Netherlands as my losing semi-finalists, and beating them are Spain and France.
Yeah.
And I have France beating Spain 1-0.
Fascinating. All right, well, maybe I will reconvene this panel.
No, let's not.
either during the tournament or maybe for a post-mortem examination afterwards to see how well your predictions.
You should have a little look after the group stages, maybe, when
what will happen later in knockout. Yes. All right. Well, for now, thank you very much, Rob and Lee.
Cheers,
Andy.
Thanks, Ian.
Cheers for your time, and maybe speak to you again soon.
Cheers.